Please be seated. Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. I think at this time of year, with the colder, wetter weather and shorter days, many of us like to spend a bit more time at home. And as the holidays draw closer, I don't know about you, but I tend to hunker down for the break between Christmas and New Year and a sort of short nesting or hibernation period with a lot of baked goods takes place. Everything is finally done, and whatever is not done, well, it's too late now. If we're lucky, our homes are sanctuaries where we feel known and loved and we're safe. The Reverend Herbert O'Driscoll, who's a former dean in New Westminster, said of this week's readings that each speaks of a sort of house or dwelling place, which seems obvious when you hear someone else say it, but I had not cottoned on to that, so thanks for him. In the first, we hear that the God of Israel may have been more comfortable dwelling in a tent than in a great temple. And if you think back to the pandemic, when we were out of our buildings, we were prompted to wonder how important our buildings actually were when it came to being church. After all, a tent can be picked up and taken down, moved around to different places, and set up wherever the church is needed to minister to those in need. I found myself this week thinking a lot about that, thinking particularly of agencies like the Red Cross putting up tents in refugee camps close to Gaza or in the countries surrounding the Ukraine, where this Christmas so many people will not be going home as we are, but will be displaced. I have wondered what that is like as I was getting mince pies ready and trying to sort out a chicken for tomorrow. Turning on the news, I think we can all reflect just how blessed we are to live in this place and give thanks for that again. And I believe we are called to pray and give as generously as we can to organizations like Red Cross or Doctors Without Borders or the Primates World Relief Fund, shameless plug for that, because God is present in those places alongside all who are suffering. And if Jesus showed up in person today, I'm willing to bet that one of those refugee camps may well be his first stop. And we can show up too by offering our financial support to aid agencies as each of us are able, and of course, praying. Praying without ceasing for peace. Moving to this morning's gospel, Mary is in the spotlight, where we find her at the home of Joseph, whose ancestor was, of course, David. Greetings, favored one, the angel Gabriel says. An angel, finally, something Christmassy. I have been waiting. Mary sings in the psalm, the greatness of the Lord and all he's done for her and for Israel. All generations will call me blessed, she says. And as Christians, we do indeed call her blessed, particularly in the Roman Catholic tradition and in parts of the Anglican Church, where Mary is revered and held up as a holy woman of faith, the God-bearer, or the mother of God, you'll sometimes hear her called. Now, as a woman living in our modern times, I try to imagine myself as a teenager receiving an angelic visitor and hearing the words, greeting, favored one, you're about to get pregnant, and answering simply perplexed and just wondering what this might all be about. Because I would have been secretly in the back of my mind being like, my mom is going to kill me. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, I had neither the maturity to start a family or the courage to simply feel perplexed at being told such a thing. I can say with certainty that I would have been terrified and run off to find my mum, who would have surely had the answers as a midwife and would have known exactly what to do with this intruder, as I'm sure she would have seen it. How do you think you would have responded? And guys, since we're talking about immaculate conception, I'm asking you as well, because in theory, it could happen. The way that Mary is called to be the mother of Jesus is a lot like the way the prophets were called. Moses and Isaiah, for example. Many of us, myself included, might find Jonah a little easier to identify with and simply have tried to run away. Not Mary, though. She seems to take on board what the angel is saying all in her stride and then simply answers, "Let it be with me according to your word," even though it will make her a scandalous person. Even though Joseph will consider divorcing her, and even though no one will believe her, and that she will give birth in a mucky, cold stable, she simply says, "Let it be to me according to your word," much like Jesus the night he is arrested, as he prays that God will take away the necessity of the cross from him. He ends his prayers with the words, "Your will be done." When we pray the Lord's Prayer, as we will today, and as brothers and sisters in faith will pray around the world, we echo both Mary and Jesus, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So to recap, after 364 days of waiting for Christmas, the fourth Sunday in Advent is here. We are mere hours away from the first Mass of Christmas. And we have God dwelling in tents, temples, hearts, minds, and we have Mary chosen for her discipleship, even as a teenager. And we have ourselves, our church buildings, the places some call the house of God. But God does not need four walls. God showed us that when God chose the most unique and unexpected dwelling place of all, choosing to house God's self in human flesh. In the womb of Mary, God placed God's fullness and became incarnate by the Holy Spirit to become a human baby, vulnerable, crying, because I don't believe there was no crying. A man who would challenge the status quo, who would turn over tables in the temple, say no to the oppression of the poor, and bring healing to those who were sick. He would drive out demons and eventually conquer even death, so that we, all of us, the church, each one of us could find our way back to God. God's coming to us in the person of Jesus is, in my view, the greatest miracle of all time. The darkness could not overcome it, death could not defeat it. No pandemic or war or personal tragedy can put the light of Jesus out in our lives. But perhaps this year there are people in camps and places of conflict who might find it difficult to see the light right now. Perhaps each of us might be being called to show up for them. We're all bought on a journey of faith, and to the church we are part of, the gift of this miracle of Jesus among us once more is given by God. And that's why we celebrate with Mary as we move towards Christmas. We do not need the things that we sometimes cling to, even the baked goods. And even if we didn't have these four walls, we have learned this year we would still be the body of Christ, something that we have always known, and we have begun moving outside them. I am so proud of everyone who has taken up the call to go out into the gardens, to hoof around wheelbarrows and make it look good again, to apply for grants, to plan for community gardens amidst a food crisis, to support the food banks, to do what the gospel calls us to do. I am so proud of all of you who are attending the study in places, yes, outside these four walls, drinking coffee, joking with baristas, talking to bartenders, who are delighted that there is that unusual group of people talking about Jesus on table three. Even if we didn't have this building, we would still be church. God has shown us that. God has shown us that God is just as content to dwell in a temple as a tent, to be born to a refugee family in one of the dark places of the world, in a stable full of smelly animals. God is happy to struggle with those who say yes when he calls, but then fail and have to get up and keep trying. If you're feeling tired or a bit flat this Christmas, because it is not normally what it is, do not be afraid. We are closer to God in these times when we have to face the truth that God cannot be contained in a building or a service or a tradition or a routine or in any way by us. This Advent and Christmas season, as you look around your home, your dwelling place, or wherever you might be staying, take a moment to pause, breathe deeply, and know that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And then pray with Mary. The Almighty has done great things for us, and holy is his name. Amen.